This semester, we've been walking through the book of Mark, basically to lean into what it means for us to believe Jesus, lean into our theme of cornerstone. What it means to believe his words, believe that he was the Messiah, believe that Easter is true, that he died and he was a resurrection. And if you guys are listening to me, you might be thinking, well, this is a great explanation of what happened, right? And quite often we get caught up in what happened. I do this all the time. I'll come home and Natalie asks me, well, how was your day? And I'll go through what I did that day. Not necessarily the emotions or the why, but I'll do the what. But it's important for us in times of trouble and suffering, to focus on the why. My hope for us this morning is that we engage with Mark 13, we'll get an explanation of what will happen in the tribulation, but we won't miss out on the why. Jesus tells us events or what that will happen because before he returns, but Jesus doesn't tell us so we can project when he will return. He tells us and his disciples so that we will have purpose and hope in our troubles while we wait for him. So let's keep this in mind as we jump right into Mark 13. Right before this, Jesus is in the temple giving lessons to the disciples and everyone who's around. And then this is what happens next. As Jesus was leaving the temple that day, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at the impressive stones in the walls." Jesus replied, "Yes, look at these great buildings, but they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, "Tell us, when will this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to be fulfilled?" And it's interesting because when we look at this story, it sort of takes a quick turn, right? The disciples are saying, "Look at these great buildings. Look at these amazing things." They might even be thinking, this represents God really well because the temple was a place for the nations to come and experience God. They could experience him through its beauty and its strength. But Jesus says, this is going to be destroyed. And it actually did happen in 70 AD when the Romans seized Jerusalem and burned the temple. And they did leave no stone on top of the other because the temple was burned and all the precious metals were in there like gold. And so they overturned every stone so that they could find everything that was of value. So after Jesus tells the disciples this is what's going to happen, they're like, they want to know when it's going to happen. And they want to know why, because of Zechariah 14. In Zechariah 14, Zechariah tells us that the day of the Lord or Jesus' return is going to be closely linked to the destruction of the temple. They're going to be linked together. And so many scholars describe the rest of Mark 13 as Jesus skillfully using this moment to tell the disciples two perspectives. First, that there's a near event, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And there's far events, the coming of the Son of Man in clouds with power and glory. The former local event is a forerunner of the later universal event. And in this way, Jesus followed the precedent of Old Testament prophets by predicting a far future event in terms of a near future event whose fulfillment at least some of his hearers would see. And in prophets, the things that they said, they were prophets because they came true. And so this near future event would let them know this thing that was happening in the future was going to happen. So let's continue on to see how Jesus wove these two perspectives together. In Mark 13, 5 through 11, this is what it says. Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah.' They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars or threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. When these things begin to happen, watch out. You'll be handed over to the local councils and beaten in synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. For the good news must first be preached to all nations. But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. First off, Jesus lets them know that these events are not going to be linked to second coming and the destruction of the temple. He says they won't follow immediately. But also in this passage, he says for the first of five times to watch out, to stay alert or pay attention to when these things happen. And he does this because he wants them to know that there is purpose in times of troubles. Did you guys catch what that purpose was? Anyone? You can shout it out if you want. But this is the point in the sermon where I get your attention again, because there's this weird pause. And then you're focused back in. Hopefully. Maybe it didn't work. In the midst of their troubles, they can tell others about Jesus and how and know he will be beside them in the Holy Spirit. Let me try that again. In their troubles, they have an opportunity to tell others around them about Jesus, who he was, what he came to do. And in the midst of that, they know they will not be alone because the Holy Spirit or Jesus will be with them in the midst of it. And just like Jesus' suffering and death on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter had purpose, our times of trouble give us purpose. We know right now that there's wars, disasters, trouble, and suffering in the world, right? It's very evident. But the message to the disciples is the same for us today. Our troubles give us an opportunity. In that opportunity, we have purpose. We can tell others about Jesus. And we will know that the Holy Spirit will be with us in the midst of it, giving us the words to say. I don't know if you guys have seen this true in your life, but troubles do give us those opportunities to talk more about God. One thing that's really clear for me, a trouble that my mom went through, was that she battled cancer for 10 years. It was multiple myeloma. It came and went through it. Her health would get better, get worse. Through it, it was not really a fun thing. I saw my mom suffer a lot. I saw my dad suffer and have a lot of trouble. But it also gave them great opportunities to tell people about the hope that they had in Jesus. One example was I was visiting them one time when my mom wasn't doing very well. And I can't remember why I had to do this, but I went over to Bob, the neighbor, to ask him for something. And Bob just said, you know, your mom just has a really good attitude. And she said, because she knows this isn't the end. And it was just cool to see that my mom was using this opportunity of suffering and pain to tell other people about the hope that she had in Jesus. So this is a question I have for you guys this morning. Is there trouble or suffering you're going through right now? Just take a moment to think about that. Are there examples? I'd encourage you guys to write them down, whether it's on your phone or in a journal, piece of paper that you have in front of you. But also, in the midst of those troubles, are you aware of ways you can share the good news in the midst of them? Are there ways that you can share the good news as you think about those times? Are there people that you're interacting with that you can tell about Jesus? We're going to continue on in Mark 13, and I'm going to summarize a lot here to give the disciples and us hope in the midst of our trouble, suffering, and death. And so Jesus doesn't say that this is an opportunity, but he also wants to give us hope in the midst of it. So Mark 13, 12 through 25, Jesus says a time is coming in the near future and the far future where things are going to happen. So that when the disciples see the near future events happen, they will have hope that the far future events will come true also. So the near future events are brother will betray brother. This could be alluding to Jesus' betrayal on Good Friday, where his disciples, Peter denies him, where Judas betrays him. because Jesus called his followers his brothers, sisters, father, and mother. They talks about how they would be persecuted because they followed Jesus, and that happened. It talks about the Romans will desecrate the temple when they destroy it, and that happens. It talks about far future events, too. There will be false messiahs who come after Jesus, and we shouldn't pay attention to these false messiahs because Jesus will come again visibly, and so we know when he comes, we'll see him. Like it says in Mark 13:26, then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. Then after this, he goes on to give two analogies of what's going to happen in the tribulation or the end times, or how you can tell that these times are happening. He gives an example of a fig tree. And the cool thing about the fig tree in Israel is it's one of the only trees that loses its leaves and buds new ones in the spring. Sort of like we have trees that lose their leaves and get new ones in the spring. That's what happens to the fig tree, and it's one of the only ones. All the rest of them there are evergreen trees. So he's saying as you see these things, you'll know there'll be signs that you'll see that the end is coming. But also in the midst of that, he also holds intention that you won't know, because Mark 13:32 says, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. And then he gives another analogy of a man going on a long trip, and he tells his servants, gives them instructions of things to do, and tells them to do those things, but also to watch for his return. And so he tells them in 35, you too must keep watch, for you do not know when the master of the house will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or daybreak. He tells them to watch for them, but he also says that we will not know when he comes back. And so we have this tension between what being able to know when Jesus is coming back, but also not being able to know. And I believe that Jesus told us to watch, not so we can predict the time when he'll return, but that it will help us keep hope alive in the midst of our troubles and suffering. Hope that Jesus is coming back to restore all things. Hope that at his return, he will end troubles and suffering. And hope should not be uncommon to us. I believe all humans have hope in many different things. Hopefully you guys can think of things that you're hoping in. This actually happened to me on Thursday, and this is kind of a funny example, but I was watching the Frozen Four NCAA hockey tournament. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but basically whoever wins this tournament is the number one hockey team in the nation. And some of you know that I'm a Michigan fan. And so I was watching Michigan play Quinnipiac. I can never pronounce their name right, so you can correct me afterwards. But Michigan was down 4-2 with a minute left. And I was still watching because I thought the goalie is pulled and they could still win. Right? Ended up losing 5-2, so they didn't win. So my hope was probably misplaced, right, because there's only a minute left. But all of us have hope, right? But we can remember that our hope is not misplaced in Jesus returning. Mark 13 finishes off by saying, I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him. And again, I want to go back to the why, because that's a what, watch for him, right? So why should we watch for him? And I think it's to remind the disciples and us of our purpose in the midst of our troubles. In the midst of our troubles, they can tell others about Jesus. We can tell others about Jesus and know that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we need them. It's to remind the disciples and us that there's hope in the midst of troubles. In the midst of troubles, we can have hope that he will return. His return will end trouble, suffering, and death, and he will restore all things. And we can have hope in Jesus' second coming to restore all things because of Easter. And why do I say that? Because Jesus predicted his death and resurrection 3 times in Mark, before this chapter, but also before he died and rose again. And that happened, right? And the disciples saw it. They experienced it. And so they knew what Jesus was saying was true. So when they hear this, they can think about it and think, this is going to happen in the future. They saw Jesus walk from the tomb into their homes. And at that moment, when he did that, they realized they had purpose and hope after his death and resurrection. And that purpose and hope would not end. And same is true for us, no matter what troubles we're going through right now. Jesus said there's forgiveness of sins for all who repent and believe in him. And if you have trouble, suffering, and death, it isn't the end. Just like my mom believed, this is not the end. It's not the end for you. There can be purpose. You guys have opportunity upon opportunity to tell others about Jesus, how they can be restored and reconciled to him, how they, you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can have reconciled relationships to those around you. There can be hope. Just like Jesus was resurrected, the Bible says that one day he will return. And again, in his return, he will we will have victory over death. We will be given new bodies. The earth will be new. A lot of things are going to happen that are going to be great. Peter summarizes sort of this idea this way in 1 Peter 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. When you let Jesus walk from the tomb into your life, when you believe in him, everything changes. Your purpose becomes clear, and your hope is eternal. And my hope at this moment for us here at HO is to learn to lean into our purpose and hope. I want you guys to reflect on those troubles and suffering you're going through right now in your life, if you are. I want you to think about those things and think about what are the ways that you can have purpose in those? What are the ways that you can tell others about God? Also, in those times, I want you to have hope that they might not be for the rest of your life, that they could end now, but ultimately they will end when you die and spend eternity with Jesus.